Claudio Brizzolato asks for your protection, and you're part of House Battaglia, what are you going to do but say yes, even if it's in the middle of the race of antlers? Hello, and welcome to Actual Play Court of Blades, Episode 5, Part 1. We're picking up right where we left off in the middle of the race. There's a zombie horde, there is a rogue knack, there are a lot of suitors running away, ostensibly running away from the people pursuing them, but I imagine also running away from the zombie horde. I mean, that's just a good thing to run away from at any time. And we say zombies, but we're not really sure. Something bad happened. And then Claudia Pizzolato shows up out of nowhere and says that she needs our protection, that she's been betrayed. So what are we gonna do but turn this duo of Cor and Lenore into a trio, and the three of us will make our way. Well, protecting her, but also making sure she doesn't win. This should be fun. Sit back and enjoy the show. Enjoy the ride. Hello, welcome to Actual Play, Court of Blades. Swish, 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 swish. I'm Sean Nittner. I use he, him pronouns. You can find me everywhere at Sean Nittner. I am playing Cor the Bravo. She and Lenore are in the middle of a race. The race of antlers, and we're trying to win this race so that another family doesn't. But there's been a big twist, and that now half of the runners are zombies. So that's fun, and fast zombies, scary zombies. So. I'm excited about that. As usual, all proceeds on the channel go to our split between the Trans Legal Defense Fund and Black Lives Matter. So if you're sending money our way, that's where it's going. We certainly appreciate it. If you'd like to donate to them directly, that's also cool. And if you'd like some non-financial ways that you can support, I'll put a link in chat. How about you, Navi?
Hey guys, I'm Navi. I use she, her pronouns. I'm playing Rumor, our keep. Right now she is very hexed, so we're going to see how that shakes down, because she's in trouble, I think, now. So I co-wrote Court of Blades, so this is my mess. And yeah, I think that's it in a nutshell. How about you, Malika?
Yeah, so I'm Malika for today's session, who is deeply inspired by Morrigan from Dragon Age. I started replaying Dragon Age Origins so I could try to get the voice a little bit nice. For the session. Beautiful. I just love Morrigan so much. But yeah, and I'm also Jemmy. I use they, them pronouns. Malika uses she, they pronouns. You can find me on Twitter at Temporal Hiccup. And yeah, currently, I'm working on a bunch of games, including Apocalypse Keys, which is like a Hellboy-inspired game. So, but I'm excited to get into magic and mayhem in this session. So how about you, Kristen?
Hi, yeah, I'm Kristen. I use she, her pronouns. I am playing Lenore R. Hawk, who also uses she, her pronouns, who is currently in the middle of a race with Cor, being followed by fast zombies. Kristen would die immediately if the zombies were fast. I'm really hoping for slow zombies if we ever have a zombie apocalypse, but I think Lenore might be able to handle herself. Maybe, fingers crossed. So we'll see. How about you, Drake?
Hey guys, I'm Drake. I'm going to be GMing. Sean, Drake uses he, him pronouns, but I'm GMing, so I'm going to be using all the pronouns. I am also a co-author of Court of Blades. And I'm really excited to see what's going on with this rogue Brizzolato sort of knack and the Brizzolato heir, who is currently clinging to Lenore and Cor. And I think we should probably just get right down to it. What do you guys think?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Much affirmative head shaking. Okay, so when we left our coterie last week, as we're kind of getting the smash cut from the credits here, we get the real quick overview. We have the moment where we're having the tea party, sitting down with Owen from the Solemn Naturalis and Blair, our fawning noble. And Owen says that you have 48 hours to figure out where that horrifying arson leopard from 2 weeks ago came from. And Lenore gave us fateful words, and we need 24.
It's fine.
And so then we're at the race of antlers, this crazy festival in which the eligible bachelors and bachelorettes are crowned with wreaths of antlers and sent running across Ilrion, the greatest city in the known world, followed by hopefuls trying to get a marriage proposal if they catch these people. But we've also got Cor and Lenore running in that race. We get a shot of Rumor and Malika trying to corner this dangerous gnat who is fleeing down the alleyways and getting the magical whammy. But when we kind of break open here, we're going to find ourselves once again that last moment where Claudia Rizzolato kind of smashes into the back of you at this crossroads, pursued by this hungry, tawry-eyed horde of young hopefuls that are moving faster than you'd like. And she says, she leans in close, she's like, "You know who my father is? Apollo Rizzolato. He'll pay anything. Do not let them catch me." And so, like, what's your immediate reaction when Claudia Rizzolato, like, starts demanding your protection?
I want to get a sense of her motivation. I feel like this is a sort of a split second sort of thing, but you tell me if it would take longer. Sean am unclear. And I think Cora is also unclear if she is like just a regular person who is afraid of zombies, totally normal thing, right? Fair. Or if she knows about, like, she is more in the know and she knows that there's a specific threat to her. Like, does she seem specifically scared or randomly scared? Like, and I just kind of want to get a sense of like how much she knows. Like, when we offer her our protection, what are we offering her protection from? Just this horde of zombies here or some other kind of looming threat that maybe we don't know? So I'm trying to figure out how much, like, if it's just this visceral right behind me fear or if it's a larger, there's some other kind of threat to me.
Sure. Yeah, and that's something that that Cor might be fairly skilled at sussing out, right? Because like, Cor is an advocate, is a barrister as well, and
yeah,
also a trained duelist. So you're probably very very good at like assaying these kind of clues really rapidly. What do you think it looks like when Cor is kind of giving her the elevator eyes?
I think, well, first we're like very surprised, right? And then she grabs us, you know, as just like this cart ran in the way of us and we stopped for momentarily. She caught us. And I think Cor looks to Lenore, like, what the hell? Looks to Claudia and then is looking at the horde coming behind us and trying to gauge, and is like squints her eyes and is trying to gauge like whether or not Claudia keeps looking over her back, like, oh my God, that's what the source of my fear is, or whether Claudia is, more present and more like staring at us, in which case I'm going to assume that that there's something else is scaring her, that it's not this immediate threat. I want to see how much she's paying attention to that horde.
Yeah, I think it's fair in this establishing shot where like we kind of catch her as she's looking over her shoulder just momentarily, but she's got like laser focused vision just locked on you, I think, because you're the one who's more in the moment, right? She ran into you, right? So I think this might be a gather information role just to see if you can kind of put together the pieces real quick.
Sure. I'm gonna use study. I think I'm just trying to study her in particular rather than like surveying, say, the whole. Like, I don't really care about what's going on broadly. I care about like what's going on specifically in her demeanor.
I'm trying to put connections together here. Yeah, that makes sense.
Cool. All right, let me roll that. And Kristen, tell me if there's something that you want to do as part of this, or if you want to.
Can I assist?
You could certainly assist if you want to, if you want to suss it out as well. But also if you're like, I want to do my own sort of gathering, that's totally.
You might have questions of your own that you're trying to answer while this is happening, whether that be about Claudia or the situation or how best to get out of here or anything like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is all in the fiction here. Like, we have this split second moment where Cor is putting together connections.
Sure.
Cor is doing.
And I feel like you might be the one watching like our exits.
I was literally thinking that, like, yeah, okay, good. Cool. We're on the same page.
I'm going to do this on my own then. And then we'll see how that comes. And All right, I got a 4. So
decent information.
Standard information, right?
Is there a particular question on your gather information list that you want to ask?
Yeah, let's see. I think you tell me which one of these makes more sense. What do they want most, or what is really going on here?
What is really going on here is probably as close to, okay, this is way beyond what I was expecting. Let's take a step back and put some stuff together. Okay, so what is really going on here? Claudia is looking like somebody who has been betrayed. Like, she's looking at you with these big wide eyes and like the sort of, you know, you're going to understand, like, you're going to help me and I'm going to make sure that you get paid. Like, please, please, please do not say no, because otherwise this is probably the end of things. So that's what you get. She is looking back. She looks back at the horde, and it does not look like this is any kind of part of her plan or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But she's also looking for, you know, an escape. So if you're willing to give that to her, she'll follow in your footsteps. If you're like, no, sorry, you're on your own, she'll probably take off somewhere else and make a problem later.
I'm just going to say, I feel like this is an opportunity to overcome an obstacle or to address an obstacle with honor and tradition. You know, when someone comes to House Battaglia, the martial arm of Illyrian, and says, I need your protection, and there's a zombie horde on her feet, you know, I think offering that protection. Now, notably, we don't want her to win this race, but that is a far cry different.
By no means is that allowed to happen.
But this is a far cry different than offering her protection.
Also, go ahead, sorry.
No. What do you think,
Christina? No, I was gonna say one of the main ways we can ensure that she doesn't win the race is to have her with us at all times. And if we can get her out of here and be in her good favor, we can kind of figure out next steps.
Yeah.
Once we survive this.
Not so burn bridges, they're zombies.
Yeah. So I think Kor looks at Lenore for a moment to kind of gauge your response to this, and assuming you're not like fuck, like hell no, assuming you don't take umbrage with it, she you know, they're all sort of out of breath, we've been running, she pulls Claudia up close and says, stay at my side, and you will live another day. And then looks to Lenore like, where are we going?
I mean, Lenore has been looking for the exit, but does take a moment to roll her eyes at the drama of stay by my side and you will live another day.
And you will continue to draw breath.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No, that's, Kor is being extremely dramatic.
And it's a
blue wig.
It's an affectionate eye roll.
There she goes again. Yep. Lenore. You're a trained mercy. You're a bounty hunter of things that go bump in the night. This is not your first rodeo when things get spooky, obviously. Mm-hmm. What's protocol here? What are you doing?
I think that the first thing is, as soon as Claudia like ran into us and we stopped, was I think Lenore took like a quick stock of how far, like how many seconds we had until they would reach us, the horde. And then immediately looked for, I want to say it probably depends on how good I roll, between 2 to 3 exits. So in case one goes poorly, there's automatically a backup exit.
That's a good call. Yeah, absolutely. So that being your question, what do you think, what action roll best supports that? I mean, this might be hunting an exit, but it also might be surveying the lay of the land.
I think surveying, yeah.
Okay. I could definitely see surveyor. So go ahead and roll your survey.
Okay.
You know, for the sake of argument here, it's you know, controlled and standard, but it's really a gather information. So I can't hurt you for this yet.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to roll it and choose fortune, mm-hmm. that will also
do that. Oh my God.
That's an option. Yeah. And if you want help, I'm happy to give you a bonus die. I can think of ways in which Kor could help out.
I think I'm okay.
All right.
My famous last words. It's fine.
What could happen?
Why didn't my dice roll? Oh, there. Okay.
There you go. Hey.
So yeah. Again, decent information here. You're not going to find like the sure-footed path that takes you out of danger. You'll still be in danger the whole way here.
Sure.
I'm going to go ahead and give you three ugly options, okay?
Okay.
So the first ugly option is that you continue on over this overturned cart that is rapidly turning a thoroughfare here into a roadblock.
Okay.
So up and over, hoping that nothing bad happens as you are trying to navigate the wreckage.
Okay.
You could, you know, run down this alleyway off to your left here. It looks like there's one of those kind of wrought iron balconies that leads up and onto like a landing that leads up to like a fire escape, looks like,
mm-hmm.
Up toward the rooftops and take flight on the rooftops. Or it looks like right below your feet is a pass through down into a canal that runs under this city. Or not under this city, but under this street. So those are your three options.
Okay.
What sounds like your play here?
I think Lenore looks at Kor and looks up and looks down and then says, above or below.
She's like, she looks at you and she's like, she looks at her clothes. She's like, I am not staining these silks. And like,
I did not bring my swimming wig.
I did not bring my swimming wig, yes.
This is not a swimming wig.
And you think that there's like, and like there's a part of you, I think, that just knows that that was a lie, that that was bluster, and that Lenore is not saying that out of fashion or sensibilities. That's what she's telling you, but you know it's
sure.
a lie.
Okay.
And you know it's that she's afraid of underground is more monsters. Like for her, it's like, I don't want to face more zombies, and I think that there might be more underground. But she is
dropping down into the canal underneath. So.
Right. Last time we went into some catacombs, crazy, scary things popped out, and she did not like that.
Yeah.
Despite fighting them by your side, she was not keen with it. So you know that she's playing tough,
mm-hmm.
but nevertheless, it's like rooftop, running along the rooftop sounds great.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so that's where we go.
Okay, nice. That sounds good. So that's kind of where you tug Claudia toward, and like the last shot of the scene that we see is you guys bolting toward that alley.
Yeah, I think action wise it's probably a maneuver roll to try and get away and get ahead of them. Do you want us to do that now, or do you want to cut away?
No, I actually do. I want to know whether or not bad things are going to happen when we cut back to you.
That sounds
so
great.
I'd like to see that roll, and I'm going to adjudicate it afterward just to make sure. Right now you guys have like 30 seconds of head start before like the crashing tide of humanity hits you. I think that since you're basically getting off the thoroughfare here, that we can call this risky.
Okay.
I think that with Claudia is an accomplished runner. She'll be able to keep up with you. I'm gonna give you standard here. Yeah.
Okay. So important question, Kristen.
Yes.
Are you going to be the person who like interlocks your fingers together and like throws one of us up onto the balcony, you know, where we step on your interlocked hands and you throw one of us up? Or are you going to be the person who goes up and is reaching over the balcony and is catching the hand to pull someone up when they're coming up? Are you the first up or are you the last up?
Oh.
Either way, there's a moment that Kor is going to wink. He's gonna flirt, is gonna do something, but I have to know like in which way.
Which lift cute is this?
Yeah, exactly.
I think Lenore wishes she could do both. I think I will lift you up. I will lift you up. That way I'm there, I'm the last one at the bottom.
Okay. All right. And I think does it make sense to you that Claudia will always be in between us?
Yes, absolutely.
Like if I'm going first, then you'll be last. Yeah.
Yep.
So when you go to lift me up, I'm like, and she looks down. She says, I know I'm safe in your arms. And then like, you know, just like ridiculous. But it expects you to like hoist her way up in the air to catch her.
Yes.
Catch a landing.
Lenore does, of course.
All right. let's make.
I'm thirsty.
Let's make a maneuver roll. Do you want to lead it or would you like me to? I think either one, if I'm going first, it makes sense. But if you're giving us directions, it makes sense that you could lead it. I'm totally happy.
What is the benefit or Yeah, what's the benefit?
Whoever is the leader is the one who could potentially take stress.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's benefit because just then you spread stress around.
You spread the stress around. Okay.
Spread the stress around. That's how
I have three stress.
Same.
Okay, so I'll do it.
Okay.
That's so much stress.
All right, okay. I will roll first. So we're risky standard.
Risky standard.
Do you want to push this to desperate great? Because we are in a race here. And I feel like there is a case for saying we're not going to try and get out of the line of sight of the zombies. We're not going to try and do this in a surreptitious way. We're going to make an all-out bolt trying to get as far as we long, and we're just going to leap from rooftop to rooftop, and we are going to put ourselves in great peril to try and get there faster and get away faster, but knowing that we could crash down between houses, that we could be seen easily, et cetera, et cetera.
You got all kinds of bad stuff that could happen. Don't even worry about it.
So we can ask for more effects by trading position. What do you think? I feel like this is a good opportunity to do that. I mean,
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I wasn't.
as my co-maneuverer.
I think we can do that. Desperate great. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Desperate greater. Yep.
I think that we can definitely do that because I feel like where Malika and Lenore communicate and are in battle and are like really logical, I think that Cor and Lenore are more like, we're never going to back down. It's like this constant game of chicken.
Yeah.
And so it makes sense that we're just going to risk all of it all the time.
Yeah. Just pushing you going further. Like we see a balcony and it's clearly too far away and you just see one of us running for it. Like that's stupid.
But you stop it, stupid. No, you stop it, stupid.
Exactly. That's pretty much it. Okay.
Cool. Desperate.
And you're rolling first?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Sean, you should probably roll for Claudia if she's taking part of it. She could either help or cause the stress. Yes.
No pressure, Lenore.
We're good. All right. Navigating Zoom. All right, so a six, so I can't hurt you too bad here.
Yeah.
So as you guys kind of turn and dart into this alleyway here, like we see the overwhelming majority, like the last moment that we're following you guys into this alley, as you get down and you steeple fingers and throw Core up onto this balcony, most like just trample of feet passing the mouth of this alleyway. A couple of stragglers like in the back sort of like herky jerky turn in your direction, but at that point like they're already kind of levering you up, but Claudia's breath catches in her throat as soon as she turns on this rooftop as you're making, you know, your first jump here. I'll tell you why after I talk to Malika and Rumor.
Perfect.
So Malika and Rumor, you guys are basically like picking yourself up, dusting yourself off after you got the magical whammy here in this alleyway. The knack is already turned and spurred off, but as you're collecting yourselves, like there's this trail almost of that kind of horrifying knack dust that Rumor tossed into the face of this opposing Brizolato knack, and it's taken on this kind of strange actinic blue spark. It's almost like a trail of fairy dust, like in the back here. Do you guys stop to plan or converse, or are you just already off in pursuit?
So we see that the next, like, oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying, like, he's already like booked it out of here.
Yeah, he was up on the horse. You guys had gotten down and had, you know, levied this challenge, right? But the knack like got that face full of dust, this huge like coruscation of magic that threw you guys back and away, and just immediately like reined up, turned, and is just like pranced in a circle real quick and then took off and just down this back road where all the lamps behind them are just like puffing out.
Yeah, I think I don't remember saying if we got off our horses necessarily, but
I don't remember that actually. Now,
yeah.
So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because I remember I did the challenge so that Rumor could get a good shot in.
Right.
So, you know, perhaps it was a bit of a trick, but I looked towards. So the choices are: do we investigate or do we go after?
Are we taking a second to look and see what happened? Figure out.
I think that's exactly what Rumor says. As she turns around, so that he takes off down the road, and she turns around. And she looks at Malik and she's like, are we chasing him?
And I look at you, I look at how dangerous that neck is, and I say, you catch up and I'll go after him. You use your eyes to see what information is hidden here. But like Malik is secretly trying to protect Rumor, right? Like,
you stay here, find out what you can, I'll go follow that.
Yeah, basically. And I'll be like, you'll catch up, you know?
So. This Rumor's on foot here.
You have a horsey.
That's
we,
right.
we have names for our horsies.
Yes.
I rolled the captain of the guard for his noble steed. No, I forgot. Okay, back. I'm here.
Locks noble Chauncey.
No, I'm totally getting back on Chauncey. So I think what's going to happen here is that I'm going to fall very comfortably into line behind Malika. So I'll just kind of like come around wide and then come up behind her so that like I have her back. But I am going to, I'm going to be right in her shadow until it looks like a good opportunity for me to actually employ some skills, because I think this is just a chase. We need to get after this guy.
My question then, before you guys take off in hot pursuit of Grand Theft Horsey here, what does this Nax hex? Like, you guys are hexed. That's already been established in the fiction, but like, there's a mark of some kind on you guys that that shows that you have been hexed. What does it look like?
On Malika, it looks like an extra set of eyes are being drawn underneath their eyes, and then another set, like it looks like it's trying to create this like row of eyes, is what's happening, I think.
Terrifying.
Yeah, and like the fast zombies on the avenue over have like the tar and everything, so it's basically just the ice cream knack that we're dealing with here. Like,
nothing for eyes.
What about you, Rumor?
We got hit with the same hex, but perhaps it affects us differently because I don't practice magic. I don't have that knackery. So I think that maybe for Rumor, it's just rather than extra eyes, I think more so it's like kind of starting to occlude her eyes. It's just kind of this weird thing climbing over the whites of her eyes.
Ooh. Yeah, okay, cool. It's almost like the thing that's mm-hmm. happening on the other side of the buildings is trying to happen to you too. Mm-hmm. But it hasn't gotten there yet. I like that. I totally won't twist that knife later. Okay, so as we get like this moment where you guys consider each other for just a second, and like we see Malika's extra set of eyes beginning to blossom underneath her first ones, and
are you okay?
And then it cuts over and Rumor from behind asking Malika, are you okay? And then we get from Malika's point of view and just like tarred over vision. All right. But hey, while stuff is happening with her eyes, it's the perfect time to set off in hot pursuit in a winner take all horse race. What do you guys think this is? You thinking maneuver here too, or is there some cunning stratagem that we might be enacting here?
Yeah, I think we don't have to chase someone who's going to get cursed. So I'm going to use invocation. In fact, when Rumor asks me if I'm okay, I turn and smile. And I say, oh, he's just giving me enough ammunition to work with. Anger is very useful in spells, my dear.
Rumor just kind of does that the thing, like she's going to nod, like she totally understands what's happening, but she's like, has no idea what's going on.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay. So what kind of invocation is this?
I'm going to curse him that whatever magic he is sending out is going to come back to him tenfold.
Excellent. The old tenfold curse. Beautiful. All right. So go ahead and this is pushing yourself.
Yeah, definitely.
Any definitely. Additional effects that we're ticking on here?
Let's see. So I'm pushing myself, and I'm also going to I'm also going to mark stress, one extra stress, so that you and anyone you choose gets +2d to resist the effects. Nice. I'm not gonna bother.
I'm gonna throw an extra die in there. I'm gonna use my foresight. So as she's getting ready to cast this spell, Rumor just kind of casually like pulls out this kind of like cravat that she yanked off of his neck as she was basically like magic chloroforming him. So she kind of pulls it out. She's like, will this help as a focus? That's how this magic stuff works, right?
She nicks something personal. Excellent. Yeah. That sounds like a good assist. We're channeling here, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And what kind of role is this?
This is probably a channel, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, but I mean like position and effect.
Position and effect. That's probably important.
How bad is a hex? What's it doing?
It's not great.
Besides making this pretty.
So yeah, it's giving you all kinds of fun body horror stuff here, which is kind of on brand for us. I think right now this is one of those things where as you're working with the weave, it is going to be a little more difficult just because of the nature of your hexedness. So we're going to start with limited effect. We're going to start with a risky position just because this might go awry. They might get out of the line of fire. They might get anything might happen. So we're going to start with risky limited.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll go ahead and mark that. I also have a fine arcane focus in order to increase the effect. Does that make sense?
The standard. Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
And what the arcane focus looks like is like Malika moves to like pull away at the blouse that they're wearing, and underneath there's this like ancient amulet, and there's this like old cracked eye that starts to flicker open and move around.
Eyes and all the way down tonight.
And I think like what Malika is trying to insinuate that they knew that this snack would like use this kind of magic or something, like it's something that's known. But yeah, and then so we're at risky standard now, and I will ask for a lady's favor.
Lady's favor here. Let's see. They're already going to be retreating to the bolt hole. I think that the lady's favor here is that at their bolt hole, they've got somebody who's going to help.
Yeah, I think I'm okay with destroying more people. That's all right. I'll take the extra die. Okay, so rolling. Highest is a 6.
Okay, so as you spit this curse in their direction, like what is the weeding look like? Is it's not subtle here, right? It's overt.
Oh yeah, Malika's not very good at subtle. We used the Vulgate display of power last time, but
we did. Yeah.
Yeah, but like basically what it looks like is Malika takes the amulet and crushes it, and it breaks across all the eyes on their face. And Malika whispers, there is no place that you can run that the Lady of Ashes will not find you.
Sick. Awesome. So as the amulet breaks and this sort of powdered, you know, residue washes over, there's a ripple through the weave that like we can see, like because we have the unlimited special effects budget of our imagination, we're seeing seeing a little of this almost like pulsing through the air, and it like crawls across the cobblestones in front of you almost as if something is burrowing in their direction, and it's rapidly gaining on the horse that this knack is off on. But they turn the reins and they are heading down one of these other side roads. Again, just pursued by this this cobblestone street shark of a curse.
Yeah, can I just say I'm so here for the Tremors special effects of the thing, oh, yeah, the thing underground and the cobblestone breaking, and yeah,
it's gonna be so good. Awesome. So they are headed that way. Do we spur here? Are we following?
I think that I'm still looking to Malika to see what she's going to do, because I think that at this point Rumor's kind of like aroused, like terrified and aroused. She doesn't know what to feel right now. She's kind of looking for her cigarettes, and it's a whole moment.
All right. So in that moment where Rumor is looking at you, Malika, like what do you think about this person who is looking to you for direction when stuff gets spooky?
I think Malika is like, this is new because Malika hasn't been respected in terms of the magic that they have, because they're from the wilds and all of that. But Malika whispers, "You have your own path, little one. Do not follow into the dark. But I promise you there is a brighter light waiting for you wherever your path leads."
She kind of takes that for a moment, and I think she takes it very literally, maybe more literally than it was intended, because she immediately like kicks the spurs on Chelsea and starts cutting down the path. And I think you can kind of already get the sense that she's once again going to try and guesstimate where he's going and head him off.
Okay, so what kind of role do you think that is?
I think that's a maneuver, because she's trying to get there quickly and he already has that huge head start.
Okay, with a maneuver here, I think you're risky.
It could be survey though, because she also has to try to figure out exactly where he's going. So that's, I don't know, how are you doing?
So I think if you're just maneuvering, if you're going, just riding hell for leather, mm-hmm. I think that I can give you risky limited. I think for a survey, I can give you risky standard, because you know, You're putting together some clues, some details about the city that you know, mm-hmm. And taking it together with what you've seen, right?
Yeah, I'm going to take that survey then. I'm going to, ooh, can I hear, how much more terrible can I make the situation? Can
very,
I hear a lady's favor?
Very bad. Okay, so I think that the lady's favor here is that, you know what, it's written right into the GM agenda. You know, fill the world with treachery. I think that what's happening here is going to net you a bigger enemy than you think that you are currently pissing off.
So bigger than Breezalados.
Bigger than the Breezalados.
Oh, that's terrible. I'll take it.
Okay. That's awful. I love it. This is somebody's double cross in your company.
How bad is the situation right now?
Right now we're risky. Yeah, you're not face to face with the Knack. He's not right here about mm-hmm. to blow you up. I think it's one of these things that we might get there real quick though.
I think it's probably not Jermaine. Oh, there you go.
You can't just stop
no,
there.
Please.
Well, I was, you just rolled, so it's, and you were going to roll the same number of dice no matter what, but I was going to argue if you were doing maneuver, that I think it would make sense for our very fine steeds to affect position there, but that would have just, even assuming that Drake was agreed with that would have just put you at risky standard anyway, because it was risky limited to begin with. So I was like, well, I think you can make an argument for better effect, but I think it would be really with maneuver rather than a survey, because it's about the horse's speed rather than
that's right, yeah.
about, you know. But again, it's not Jermaine, it's the same number of dice,
no,
same position.
Now that's back in my head, because it's been 2 weeks and I forgot about the very fine battalion.
Yes.
So thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so a five on your survey here. I think this is where we're going to be getting into a desperate situation. I think that as you are coming up to, you know, this quick left-hand turn, mm-hmm. The Knack is like, has dismounted.
Oh no, I was too fast.
Has like smacked the horse's rump and sent it going. Mm-hmm. And as they're taking like their last look around, like the avenue in front of like their bolt hole here, mm-hmm. They spot you just coming out of this alleyway. and they produce a pistol.
A pistol?
They
you
point.
You are a knack. What are you doing with a pistol?
They are pointing and about to fire.
I object.
A knack and a knave.
Gosh.
You are.
They did give them the magical whammy. Remember, he's covered in knack bone residue and cannot channel until
yeah,
he does something about it. So, you know, if you can tell the very laws of reality to sit down and shut up, if that gets turned off, what do you got by shooting the face, right?
Okay, so how, like, has he already shot? Do I have any time to react?
No,
or?
this was a risky, but we are in a desperate situation.
Because he's drawing a pistol
and about to gore you with it, so. Are you going to try and talk him down?
I don't, because I don't want to get that horse hurt, because I'll never hear the end of it if the horse gets shot.
I promise not, I wouldn't scratch his horse.
He'll never let me take it out again. So,
I mean, it also could just die, which would be terrible too.
Yeah, so I think what the move here is, like, she's going to kind of like dive off of the horse and try to find some cover, and then maybe yell that persuasion over to him. I don't even know that she's actually honestly trying to persuade him so much as trying to distract him.
Keep him talking.
Keep him talking and maybe not shooting at me.
Okay. So what I need to know is, do you think this is more contingent upon your talking? Or is this more contingent on you getting out of the line of fire right now?
Okay, so that's, you have to tell me if I have realistically time for her to dive off and make the horse no longer a target, then the talking is going to be the most important part. But if my ability to move quickly is more important at this exact moment, then I might have to do maneuver first. Like, how fast do I have to move?
I don't think this is like immediate. If you start talking, they might hesitate.
Right.
Right. If you dive, and this is clearly like a threat, and we should probably, you know, neutralize, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to try talking, I would recommend talking.
Okay, that's what I will do. I will talk.
Okay.
I think what I'll do here is, I think this is going to be a sway. She's going to just start bullshitting about, like, the Breitzlatas have already given you up. The all of the major houses know who you are now. Like, your cover's already blown. She's just like gonna spew just complete and utter nonsense, trying to convince him that, like, there's absolutely nothing he can do at this point. Nowhere he can run. Everyone knows what's happened, and like, there's some really important people back there that he just turned into, like, whatever he
sure.
did. Yeah. So like, she's gonna just, that's what's coming out of her face.
Sure.
I don't think that's entirely BS, Navi. I think there's a kernel of truth in there, because he has been found. House Lavelle did know who he was and gave up his identity. Like, maybe not everyone has turned on him, but definitely some people have turned on him. It's not just us.
I guess the best stuff is, like, the truth mingled in there is like the best lie, right?
So, yeah, exactly. I think
like a shepherd's pie, many layers.
Yeah, there's definitely kernels of truth in that. You could back that lie up if you needed to, is my point. If you brought him to the head of the Breitzlato family right now and said, like, he just used this magic and turned all these people into zombies and almost killed your daughter, and, you know,
very naughty.
You could probably leverage that to be true.
Sure.
If you needed to.
Okay, so this is gonna be a desperate role, because we're gonna be talking to a guy who's or got a pistol on him, right? I think this is desperate, because you've got little nuggets of truth in there. I'm gonna give you limited here.
Okay. I think I might push myself here, just to get that effect out.
Mm-hmm.
Can this also act as a setup action? Is more lethal.
I'd be angry if it wasn't.
Yeah, I feel like
action,
this is a
frankly.
Setup action, because I think that's exactly what she's doing. She's trying to buy that time, keep him out in the open.
You told me that you wanted him. You
Where's
wanted,
the worm right now?
Yeah, right.
Like, has he forgotten that he's being chased?
Oh, no. The worm is hitting. Like, he's already getting, like, it was never like a big, you know, explosion or anything like that. We just saw the ripple and it went out. And now, like, that's why all of a sudden pistol, not whammy stick.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I think that he's hexed as well. You're all hexed. Bad things are happening.
Navi, before you,
then the stress on the push, I think you have an item in your inventory called a believable excuse.
And would you consider this a believable excuse? I mean, it's a believable excuse for me chasing him down, right? I'm the believable excuse is that I'm trying to talk him down before he gets himself into more trouble, yeah, potentially, you know, right?
That maybe checks you could be
rehabilitated here. Okay, I'll use that. That works, and I can save the stress.
Absolutely.
So my believable excuse, yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, yeah, we got fun things. You got an invitation and an excuse and
I was just kind of holding on to it because, like, I feel like a believable excuse might mean something I need lately, like if the horse gets shot.
I mean, that is totally
what happened was
that's totally fair.
It was raining bullets on that particular street, like it could have been anybody's horse.
Okay, here we go. So we're gonna sway and we're gonna do the standard
set.
Just ooh, I get to.
Okay, so I'm gonna let you give me what is more interesting for you at this particular moment.
Just don't shoot.
You're going to have to keep him here talking long enough for his buddy to come out and see what the holdup is.
Yeah.
And that's gonna mean that when Malika gets here, like you guys are gonna be on like an even footing here because it's gonna be 2-on-2.
Uh-huh.
That's one. The other one is that the problem is that he's got something prepared for Malika when she gets here.
I don't love that. I think that Malika already said, like, more people is great. So let's let the friend come out.
Okay, we're gonna let the friend come out. All right, so the friend here is, as they kind of come down, it's kind of hard to really make them out. Like they move and they're mostly cloaked, frankly. Like as they're coming out of the front door and they like hiss in the direction of this knack with his silver mask. Like it's a cultured voice. It's fairly dulcet. It's hard to figure out exactly who's speaking. Like it's a very sort of ambiguous figure behind this perfect unremarkable black mask in this black hood. Like it's just very, very, what's the word? Almost monotone in its delivery. And it's, what is that word? So this person like follows the line of the pistol over in your direction and there's a sword in their hand immediately.
Oh, a tussle. I can handle a tussle.
Hang on. What do you grew up in the streets of the Twist, right?
Yes.
How familiar are you with the Prince of Tatters?
He's a rumor.
No, you're a rumor.
Fairy tales. No, he exists through rumors. He's just fairy tales. But yeah, I think that.
What marks the Prince of Tatters?
I think that his black mask has to have like a gold, like, so that it catches the light, Orphan's notch in it.
Oh, beautiful. Yes. Both eyes, as a matter of fact. Orphan notches at both eyes, showing that both parents are dead. The Prince of Tatters stands, draws a sword, says, get in, the great work must continue. And that's about when Malika shows up on the other side of the avenue. What is Malika doing immediately? Like, as you come on, you see that there's your knack with his silver chase mask. The other is a swordsman of some kind in this long flowing cloak, has a sword in hand, and is brandishing in the direction of your companion. What do you do?
I bring the horse to a stop and I say, well, 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 what do we have here? Another person to join the play? And I turn to Rumor and I bluff a little bit and I'll say, Rumor, remember to not hurt them too badly.
Excellent. So I think that there's this moment where, you know, pistol barrel swings in your direction, sword still pointed in your direction, and we've got ourselves a little bit of a standoff here. Now, you're fairly tuned into the weave right now. You have been since we kind of started this whole play here. I want to know what, think we've established a little bit, like there's an energy that comes off people in the weave. In our first episode, when somebody is channeling something that is too strong for their physical body to handle, they have like an energy that kind of comes off. Briefly re-describe to me what that looks like to somebody who's got their third, fourth, fifth, and sixth eye open.
Yeah, definitely. There's this sense of dread that fills the entire area. The stomach is heavy, but it feels like when someone pushes too far, there's like a crackling. And like in the corner of the eyes, like reality starts to warp a little bit. So the stone starts to look like water, or the wind starts to feel like ice, or like things start to feel different. It's like is the term synesthesia? Like the time. Yeah. So that's what starts to happen just along the edges. And the more and more they do it, the more it starts to overcome the senses.
That's cool. Well, in that case, as you're kind of rounding this corner and you have this brash bravado, you've noticed that the light is sharp. Like you can feel it on your skin in the presence of these two individuals. The one who is brandishing the sword, like there is, it's almost like you can only see them through like a fisheye lens. And like the way that they move, it's almost as though there are no intervening frames of animation. As you know, the Knack turns his pistol back to cover Rumor to make sure she's not creeping any closer. This Knack, like suddenly their face, which was over here and facing toward Rumor, has like materialized out of the back of their head, and now all of a sudden they turned around. It's unsettling and weird, and I think that even worse, they look in your direction, and that same kind of monotone, blood calls to blood. Welcome, sister. But we're back on the rooftop real quick. Up on the rooftop, Claudia has gasped. And the reason is that one of the rooftop that you jumped up on, there's a corpse that's sort of laid out. And it's got a crossbow coral like underneath their clavicle, and they're wearing Brizzolato livery. Like the unofficial kind of uniform of the Brizzolatos is on this person, and Claudia drops down and she's like, I knew this man. And like she looks up to Lenore and Cor, you're not behind this, are you?
No, if we're gonna kill you, we'll kill you to your face. Who is he? Who is this? Core like puts her finger to his neck to see if he's still alive.
Oh, and... just unconscionably dead. Yeah.
Okay.
Extra dead.
Who is this man? He wears your house colors, but is he a member of the family?
No. Claudia's down, and like she kind of like just one knee next to him real quick, and she pulls the coral out. And she's looking at it real quick and kind of like discards it. And she's like, one of my bodyguards, my minder, Caldera. And she's not broken up about it, but she's like, somebody's assassinating my bodyguards. They're supposed to be running along the top and making sure that like nobody tries to take a shot at me right now. Mm-hmm. I was wondering where they were. But she's like, somebody is fiddling here. Someone's going to pay.
I think Lenore is, since Cor bent down to check the pulse, I think that Lenore is not bending down and is scanning all around them, and then asks Claudia how many more bodyguards are present at the race.
There was supposed to be six, she says, as she's kind of straightening up, and underneath there's this kind of groan from underneath as the sound of that balcony, like the wrought iron kind of bending. There's a ladder that's kind of forming as people kind of crush into this alleyway beneath you. Are we on our way?
Yeah, I think that, does she look like she wants to stay? Does she look like she's conflicted about moving?
For a moment, but only for a moment. Like she looks down and she's like, Caldera was good. He's a good man. And then there's that groan and she's like, but we should probably go.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay.
Yeah. Cor says, "Well, thankfully, you appear to be very adept at gathering new bodyguards." and she sort of like looks to Lenore. She grabs the arrow because between Lenore and Malika, like the chance that someone might be able to trace this back to the person who fired it seems feasible. So, you know, we're gonna collect that. Kristen, does that feel like the kind of thing like Lenore would do, like look like later on, look at the sheathing and the corals and be like, oh, I know who made this coral or.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
It feels like a thing you might.
It feels like a thing Lenore would do. And out of game, Kristen loves any chance where we can loot a body. So I know it's not proper looting, but yes, let's take the arrow.
Nice. Awesome. So Kristen, I have another very important question.
Yeah.
You got a stress on that. We got a 6 on that maneuver. So we're running along rooftops. We're doing great.
Yeah.
But you are suffering stress.
Yes.
And so I want to propose 2 possible reasons why you would be stressed out. And you can reject them both if you don't like them. One of them is that you run and miss a step and has to be caught by Core and help and hoisted up. The other one is that the reverse happens. Core runs and misses a step and you have to catch her. And hoist her up. And I am super amenable to either of these options.
I think for Lenore to actually have stress, she would need to be the one to trip. I think that catching Core and having a flirtatious moment with Core is, although it might make her blush, it's not enough to like actually put her off her game. Nice. But her tripping and being vulnerable to Core for sure would put her off her game a little, even if it's just for a minute.
Awesome. Yeah. I think when you you're falling and it looks like there's nothing there and Core's hand like lightning just like appears over the edge and catches yours. Because as we know, she is unstoppable. She can move with incredible speed. And just like, you know, like it looks like you're definitely gonna fall to the zombies below and Core catches your hand and like locks eyes with you for a moment before hoisting you back up. And it's clearly like this, you owe me, but she doesn't say it. It's like, there's just like.
I think that when you do you have your blue wig?
Yeah.
I think that when you do that and you pull Lenore back up, that Lenore takes a second and brushes the hair away from your face so that your wig's back in pristine condition.
Perfect. Love it.
No pins this time.
Yeah.
That'd be too intimate. We gotta.
Yeah, yeah. We don't have time for that.
We're not.
That's later.
Yeah, that's sexy times.
Malika's gonna be very upset about all of this.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's the groan of metalwork beneath you as the whatever they're called, these tar puppets are moving up onto this balcony behind you. There are a couple of ways that we could go here. And I need to know which one you guys think is more your speed. Now, rooftop to rooftop is all well and good. We can do that for a while. In the guild, most of them are, you know, row houses that are built in these kind of staggered arrays, just, you know, beautiful sort of stuccoed and ornate shop fronts and townhouses. You can traverse quite a lot of the city that way. However, we are going to have to get all the way over to the docks. So there's a lot of town between us and the docks. Are we taking as direct a route as possible? Because that is going to...
Oh, you cut out after, are we taking a direct route?
If we're taking a direct route, sorry, I was pulling up my map. So we're in the spindle. As we're heading, we can head, you know, through the Guild, the Plaza, the Market, and then into the Vine, the Arbor, the Granary, and then to the docks, or we can head kind of more south into the Trinket and then over through the Groan and up into the Shores District. It's riskier to head south, but it takes you out of the way of the tar puppets. If we head straight there, we got the tar puppets the whole way. What sounds like a better idea?
Do we know why it's riskier to head south?
So south is typically the more dangerous districts. Okay. And right now we are taking, you know, basically the princess of crime down through the place where all of her enemies might be hanging out. Danger to yourself or to your ward, right?
Right.
Yeah. I'm less concerned about the direction we go. Kristen, I'm happy for you to pick that. I'm concerned about the means of conveyance. because cinematically speaking, we're going to run along a bunch of rooftops. We're going to see shingles flying out from underneath us. We're going to have awesome leaps and jumps. We're going to have that moment of catching each other and pulling one another up. I would like our next means of conveyance to be leaping off a rooftop into a carriage and grabbing hold of the reins and riding some carriage. I really don't care where we're going. I just care about the aesthetics of it.
No, and we're going to get there. I've got a lot of traffic based bad stuff that might come up.
Fantastic.
Like if you guys don't like commandeer a gondola and like jump on like a passing horse or you know anything like that, like this is a night wasted.
Yes.
Yeah.
We will do all these things.
Right. We need the planes, trains, and automobiles this race, right? Like
Yes.
Yeah. I'm here for it. But that said, I think, you know, again for change of scenery, I think going to the south where we'd be not, you know, it would seem like we'd have a moment of reprieve, even though we really don't, because there's threats all around us, but you know, we'd get away from the tar puppets for a bit. Sounds cool, but I'm also happy with like the straight shot and so just taking different conveyances there.
Let me what do you think lay this out a little better. Because the straight shot is going to get you to the docks quicker, but it's wide open spaces without as much cover. There's going to be a lot more, you know, traffic, foot traffic, you know, carriages, gondolas and things like that. Like it's going to be a lot more open. If we head down into the trinket and over to the groan, it's going to be a lot of switchbacks. It's going to be a lot of blind alleys and things like that. And that's what I need to know, whether we're taking the straight shot or what seems like the thing that's going to be able to break sight line and stay undercover.
Right. My thought is if something happens to Claudia and that we have to explain it, how do we explain our choice? So if we take her south where we know there's enemies and she's injured or worse, I feel like our outcome is worse. Does that make sense?
I think we can explain it by saying her guards who were on the main path were all killed and we were trying to take her out of the line.
That's also a good point. Which, that's a good point.
Like, I think that's justifiable right there, you know?
Yeah. Do you want to go south? Well,
yeah, I think that would be fine.
Let's go south. Okay. So I'm here for it.
I think that we're going to get that moment where we're tearing across rooftops. We're heading through the spindle down into the trinket, the foreign quarter here.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that we don't have any problem making that epic cinematic jump. But it's not into a carriage. You have to break your heart there just a little bit. Instead, it's into, you know, the flat bottom gondolas that kind of speed through the foreign quarter, the artist quarter. Okay. Have either of you ever operated a gondola, or are we like, is there just like a sad gondolier who's like, well, that's something new. Like,
oh yeah, I definitely think there should be a gondolier.
For sure. It's
like having to deal with like these three well-armed, dangerous women, like, okay, I guess we're going to keep going.
Yes.
Onward and don't spare the tiller.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's where you guys come to your pelting end here as you guys drop into the trinket. So I need to know, like, who's taking lead on directing this gondolier, because things are happening in the background as this is happening.
Yeah.
This is Claudia's territory. She could do it, but that's a fortune roll.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Personality wise, who's just going to give directions? I could see Cor doing it, or I could see Cor fixing her wig while Lenore does it. Like, it's really a toss up.
This is when we reveal the gondola wig, isn't it?
Yeah,
exactly. Her boating wig, right? I didn't bring a swimming wig. But I might have brought a swimming wig, boating wig. I mean, the gondola is, I think either of those makes total sense. I could see Cor just like jumping into the action, but I could also see her, getting herself presentable and switching wigs. What's more fun to you, Kristen? Do you want to shout at this gondolier and say, you know, you're the one with the dot in command, so I could see you being like, you know, move this gondola and get us to the docks with haste, you know?
Yeah.
Haste.
I think Lenore, probably without even checking with Claudia or Cor, just automatically starts giving. I think she's kind of in the zone now. Like, we have so many. Right, we have dead bodyguards, we've got tar zombies, we have to protect Claudia but not let her win. There's a lot happening, so I think Lenore's kind of in this zone now. So yeah, I think it makes sense that she just drops in commands.
That moment where you guys are pelting across the rooftop and shingles are going flying and Claudia is like looking around and like, you guys are basically like, get down, Mr. President, the whole way. as you guys come skidding off the end of this this rooftop and then down into the bottom of this gondola, which is thankfully unoccupied except for this one, like, I've seen it all kind of gondolier. Lenore's the first one up, and she tells him what exactly?
I think that she tells him that you need to get us to the docks as quickly as possible. Don't look back, don't stop. Yeah.
Awesome.
And I want to assist. I think Cor is in fact removing the blue, she's removing her hero of the hour wig and preparing her boating wig. And
layer of wigs.
Yes, right. Well, we know that there's this ridiculous reveal, and she says, "Do so, and you may earn the favor of both House Battaglia and Bizzolatto. Fail to do so, and you will certainly earn their wrath."
Good addition.
Good die for that.
Yeah. So I'm gonna spend the stress to give you an extra die on that one.
Thank you.
That's the command, right? That's what it feels like in fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it risky?
Right now, yeah, we're risky.
Okay. And standard.
And standard effect.
Okay. Oof.
Okay. No, that's okay. So here's what happens. I think that this gondolier has. Let's define this person a little bit more, because right now he's a thumbnail sketch. This guy is probably about 5'9". It looks like he's, you know, maybe 19. Has been flying the gondola not terribly long, probably, but like, he looks up at you and he's got like sort of these eager eyes. And as he like locks eyes with you, he's like, "You have no idea how long I've been waiting to hear these words." And like he starts going. Like, all of a sudden, like, the gondola pole, like, he's into it. And, like, you realize that you dropped directly into, like, the perfect gondola, right? And so, too, has the team that's been following you. Because they're right behind you. And none of them are wearing, like, gondolier outfits. It's just six people in, you know, well-fit black leather armor.
Oh.
And two of them are ready in crossbows. So, anyway, Malika and... And Navi.
I'm going to jump on that gondola. I'm telling you right now.
Malika and Rimmer, you've got the Prince of Rags and Tatters and his pet Knack right here, right now. Malika has issued sort of the Knack's challenge here. The Knack is looking at Rimmer over the barrel of a pistol. It's at something of standstill. What breaks the standstill?
I want to call in a rival.
Okay.
I want to say that Moon, my complicated ex-lover, who knows of the truth of my past, I think Moon and the Prince of Tatters are rivals, and Moon has been hunting the Prince of Tatters for a long time now.
Yes.
And Moon has been following me, knowing that I was a possible like complication or lead. So I definitely want to say that that's when Moon shows up. For some reason, I'm thinking like a Sailor Moon tuxedo mask kind of situation.
Okay, yeah. Something like that here. So would you like to flash back to having like tipped off Moon?
Yeah, I think so. I think typically I think I was so upset about what happened with Core like besting me. Moon and I have this ongoing thing where if we're upset about something else, we see each other and we take it out on each other. And sometimes that's fighting, sometimes that's something else that we fade to black for. I think I tracked down Moon. They like to hang out in an abandoned clock tower, you know, every once in a while. That's where they have their hideout. And I tell Moon about what I know and who I'm tracking. And I think it's Moon who puts it together because they know that the Prince of Tatters has been working with a rogue neck.
Nice. Okay. Go ahead and mark a stress for that flashback, but Moon is totally here. Give me some descriptors for Moon. Where would they enter the scene from? Are they on the rooftop behind you? Are they on the rooftop behind the Prince of Tatters?
Definitely behind the Prince of Tatters. And Moon has dark skin, one huge scar over an eye, and this eye patch, and long flowing black hair that's braided, and there are all these trinkets in it, but they never make a sound.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, yeah, so Moon, just a shadow against the sun right now. It's interesting because it's, you know, early in the day fairly, but it's still dark here. You know, there's the overhang, there's all this other geography between you and the light source. But as Moon kind of like rears up over the roof line, it's almost like the clouds break and there's like a halo behind Moon. What is Moon the kind who would like make a dramatic declaration here, or is this like we're gonna drop down and get to business?
Oh yeah, I think Moon has full like vendetta kind of energy. Like there's like a you can see that Malika clearly has a type, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like Malika likes them talkative and dramatic,
All right. And Moon is a duelist, is more of like a knack or something else. Like what skill set does Moon bring to this whole altercation?
I know that. I kind of like the idea that they know just enough magic for their swords. Like they're kind of like a spell blade something. And like Malika taught them, and Malika wasn't supposed to.
Yeah, minor charms and a little bit of extra edge when it comes to fighting. That's awesome. Because I gotta say, like, now the Prince of Tatters has a foil. So as Moon kind of drops down and is like in the mix here, I think that it's a moment of like they catch eyes with Prince of Tatters, like out of the corner of Prince of Tatters' eyes, and they turn and lock guards, and for a moment you've got a moment to make a move here. What is your move here?
Yeah, I think I'm going to use.
Sure that you've got a setup action as well. So.
Oh yeah, that's right.
You can take advantage of all of the great stuff that has happened to give you this moment. This is where the money is made.
Also, you have that whole curse thing that was previously burrowing underground, which I mean, you've already taken the action to do that, but it feels like when it comes to effect, it's at your disposal as well.
Yeah. I think it's definitely this moment. I think the curse is what it is going to erupt from the ground, and what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to forcibly rip away the neck from the weave so that they can't access magic.
Ooh, yeah. All right. So from the neck, who's got the pistol trained on Rumor, right? Or are we talking about shifting course?
Ooh, no. I think it's the neck with the because like I trust Moon and can handle the Prince of Tatters for now, you know.
Yeah.
We'll see if that's true in the long run, but yeah.
We shall see. Excellent. Okay. So if you're you've already paid all the costs requisite for this particular curse, mm-hmm, this location mm-hmm. is in the air. This is just where we sort of see how it goes. You've already got a success on that channel. I just need to know what you want to accomplish with this.
Ooh, yeah. I think
he's already been pocket sanded and cannot work magic on his own right now. Your tenfold curse. This might just be whatever he does next hurts him instead.
Ooh, actually, I think if this is the moment where we know for sure that he was the one that created the tar zombies, I think this is when they start coming out of the shadows and turn on him is what I'm hoping for. Like full on horror movie with the tremor thing and the zombie thing.
if what you want from this is for me to add the complication of tar puppets in here as well, I'm so on board for that. I just need you to say, hey, great. You know what this scene needs? Tar puppets.
Yeah, yeah. As long as I hear the neck screaming, I'm good with it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think it's specifically tar puppets hungry for their master.
Oh, yeah.
Hungry for the source of magic that brought them to
existence. Yeah, exactly.
That's cool. Yeah. If that's what you want, your wish is my command. Yeah. So as this this wave of magic rolls over the neck, there's a moment where they've drawn level with Rumor, and Rumor is speaking to them, trying to get them to stand down for just a moment while all this gets sorted up. Like, give it up. It's not even worth it. And then there's this sort of shuffle of feet, and it's like just if the Thriller music video were terrifying, that's what we're kind of saying.
Let's start off with this. The beginning of that video, if you are a young child who has not seen the video 1,000 times, is straight terrifying. Oh. We did the dance for a thing at work one time, and we were learning the choreography, and I was rewatching that video, and I was like, damn, that's a scary ass video, and I've seen it a million times.
But that's what's happening, because they're kind of shuffling up out of the darkness, and it's not a wave of humanity like is moving through the guilt right now, which, spoilers, it's sad. But it is, I would say, probably 20, maybe 30 individuals that are coming up out of these kind of side streets, and they're moving in on the Knack, who is increasingly like trying to reach for the weave to pull it away from these people. And because he's been pocket sanded, can't. So if nothing else happens here, he's probably going to start, he's gonna fire into the crowd, and then he's gonna try and run into that bolt hole. Unless Rumor's got something to say about it.
Once those things start coming out of the woodwork and like moon arrives, like the alleyways getting kind of crowded. I think that if she can spot when somebody's skittish, like she can smell that from a mile away. That kid's gonna run. He's gonna run.
Oh yeah.
So I think that like as soon as she sees that he gets that look in his eyes,
that sort of panicked like.
She's like, oh, he's gonna bolt. So I'm going to do something here. I think I gotta do something physical here.
What do you?
So what is his position to where he's trying to get?
Okay, so he and the prince, like Moon and the prince, are currently like exchanging banter. Like there's the flash of swords as they like threaten, disengage, and turn and wheel and turn and turn again. It's gotten to the point where the Knack, who was just kind of at that doorway that leads into like the garret that we saw when Malika did the ritual looking for the Knack that sent the horrifying seabirds at you. Uh-huh. That garret is right behind him.
How big is the doorway?
The doorway is fairly standard, like domicile size, maybe about 7 feet tall and about 3.5 feet wide. It's not huge, but it's a single door that leads into like an abandoned shop front with the garret.
Mm-hmm. I think under the circumstances, Rumor kind of says, I hope you don't kill me, Locke. And she's going to try to run him down. on the stage. What? She's gonna full tilt take Chauncey into the as he's trying to flee.
Wow. Okay, so you're gonna try and trample this guy. Yeah. At that. Excellent.
Like you do.
Yep.
I make him into zombie food.
This guy is like gonna. This guy is gonna like face like. He's faced so many different horrors. He's like, zombies, horse.
This guy's having like the worst day.
Remember that having some scrap of him would probably be good at the end of this. Like having some recognizable bits of him.
Yeah.
I mean, or not.
Just gonna keep him from getting inside the building. Because we don't know what other awaits us, right?
Well, one of Lee's favors was that he was going to be more prepared there.
So that's what I'm trying to avoid. Yeah. Is him getting, that's a little metagamey, but I'm trying to avoid that.
I mean, keeping him from getting into his bolt hole makes total sense. You know, it's both metagamey and in character makes sense. Yeah. And, you know, a kick to the chest from a horse doesn't feel so great.
It doesn't, yeah. So are you skirmishing with your horse here? Because you're trying to engage him
This is a maneuver. We're running him down. We have to avoid all the zombies.
Okay, I could see that if you weren't trying to hurt him. Maybe wreck?
I guess I'm wrecking him with a horse. I'll wreck him with a horse.
I mean, you're basically using the overwhelming force of the horse to take him down. If you want to do maneuver,
I'm going to wreck this dude with a horse.
Okay. So with all of the tar puppets that are happening here.
Yeah. And I think I could probably trample some of them.
Sure. And the Prince of Tatters and Moon currently engaged in like a pitched melee here as well, because I can't go into full fencer mode and tell you about the sick triple disengage to coupe that just happened there, but it was real nice. it's a battlefield here. Mm-hmm. The tar puppets are coming to tear the knack apart. The knack is trying, it's still covering you with this pistol.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this is, if you're riding the horse in Hell for Leather, this is desperate.
Okay.
With the fine steed, thank you, Sean. This is standard.
Okay. So we got desperate and standard, and I'll just push myself here. I don't know that another horrifying like thing piled on top of this particular.
I think really the big thing here is you're gonna have to choose between either you get hurt or the horse get hurt if this is bad.
Well, yeah, I figured that was good. So I think so like there's also this feeling that like this is spiraling out of control really rapidly because there's so much happening now.
Yeah.
So I think that it was kind of a desperate situation for her anyways, because.
I'd like to posit as well that we've never really taken advantage of that setup action that you took. When Malika arrived, it was cool and dramatic, and she sort of brought forth the curse that she had already cast, like that curse that already succeeded. So I feel like it's reasonable to call on your own setup action. You can set up yourself, and I think you have set up this situation, if that seems reasonable to you, Drake, to improve either of the position or effect.
I will allow it.
Okay, so that is improved position, and I'm gonna push myself for more dice. How can I make the situation any more thin?
Oh, don't worry, we'll get there. It's a comet falling from the sky.
That's wreck with desperate greater.
Okay.
And an extra die. No!
Okay. Is it is it you?
Okay. Oh no, not the horse! Come back to me in a second.
No.
Oh, I can't.
Are we going to say that the tradition of House Battaglia is the horse should not get harmed?
Oh.
I think it's just rumors, like the way that, like, she wouldn't be able to bear, like, telling a friend that, like, I got your horse killed. So I think it's got to be rumor. I think that she would put herself in front of the horse not because she cares so deeply about horses, but because it's Locke's horse.
Okay, so here's what happens. We see you, you know, grab the reins, wheel the horse, and then spur into a hand gallop.
Yeah.
It's fast too. Like the horse does it from a dead stop in this alleyway, and then all of a sudden, like, it's running into a wall of pike, right? But what it is I think there's the sound of a pistol shot. Mm-hmm. There's the smoke in the air. There's horrifying, like, organic noises that are happening in this alleyway as these tar puppets are moving through it. You're pulled from the saddle. You're actually pulled from the saddle by these tar puppets. The horse goes careening uncontrolled into a skid, body checks the neck, and he goes down and is being devoured. But you're down there as well.
With the fucking puppets?
You're going to take level 3 harm
okay. As
you fall, and I think you're basically, I think this might be like a broken shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, like, as you come down onto the hard, cold, slick cobbles, and then there's like everybody now walking on you as well. Like it's
so pretty massive trauma. I'm gonna set my armor here.
Okay.
First of all, to bring that down a little bit.
Okay.
I think that, like, in this case, it's not like massive armor because I think.
Yeah.
Especially the way that we ladies tend to dress. And she's been trying to fit in. She's trying really hard to fit in. So she, once again, she's like raiding.
Tell me I'm pretty.
She's raiding Giovanni Batiste's like closet on the regular because like she just wants to be one of the, like, this they're doing. I got to be pretty too. So, but there's probably like some kind of like little leather harness underneath her blouse or something that she has on. So I think that maybe, like, or maybe she's just sort of wearing just that, like, little set of leather. So she's trying.
The Brigantine Jack is in high fashion right now. So mm-hmm. I think as you roll instead, you've got...
I think she knows it's tough, right? So
yeah.
She's kind of...
I think instead you're going to be, you're, like, spring? Pull?
Could I also roll to resist?
Range? You're resisting? Are you resisting on her behalf?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dislocated shoulder is a fun one. You know, there's always that sexy relocate, like, pull scene where you're like,
can she magically intervene?
I see that Sean loves the hurt comfort fan fiction tag.
Yeah. just saying, if it was broken shoulder before, dislocated shoulder seems like a very appropriate, you know, level 2. But it sounds like it might be getting reduced further. A protect action right now.
I just need to know how the knack is as this is happening, as you see Rumor pulled from the saddle by these hollow-eyed tar puppets. How are you intervening?
I'm going to use channel to, like, what it's going to look like is each of their eyes are going to glow and the same hex is going to be drawn on their faces. And I'm going to say, you were called to turn upon your master and no one else.
That sounds like a spirit resist.
Yeah, okay. I will roll to resist.
Nice. Ooh,
6. I was willing to trauma out, by the way. I was like, this is it.
Oh,
this
wow,
is when Malika traumas out.
Yeah, you were close to it.
That was perfect. Yeah. instead of like having them fall upon you and beset you, I think that like, aside from the bump and the bruise that came from falling out of the saddle, like, you're fine. So well-timed resist there. But yes, the knack is getting chewed up. Like, there is the screaming that you hoped for. Just a blood.
Yeah, it's like a Wilhelm scream. Like,
yeah. But the prince is drawing Moon into the bolt hole back here. Like, they're fencing, they're tramping up and down this alleyway has led them back into the bolt hole. And it looks like Moon is gaining ground, right? Like, he's almost, like, they're almost being drawn in, and you don't think that Moon is aware of that being the case. So we'll talk about that in a second, because we have crossbows and gondolas to get to. So crossbows and gondolas. Who notices the folks in the gondola behind you first? You were shouting back at this guy. Needs Giuseppe. Giuseppe is your gondolier.
Giuseppe.
Giuseppe, the overeager gondolier who
I love Giuseppe
his entire young life.
He's my favorite buddy. Already.
Oh, poor buddy.
I'm a real sad when they shoot Giuseppe. But,
yeah. I mean, better him than us, but still a little sad.
So I have an idea. I have a strong urge. I have a strong thought here, but I'm open to. I've thought about addressing these guys that are in pursuit.
Is this a can Lenore or will Lenore stop Cor from jumping onto the other gondola situation?
This is a 100% Cor is going to leap onto the other gondola and fight.
Yeah. All.
Will you allow it? Are you down?
I mean, I definitely think you should do it. I don't think Lenore is going to be surprised.
Yep. Well, as we know, Cor is unstoppable. And I think I'm going to use that to... Is it reasonable? Are they close enough that I can leap onto their boat especially if Giuseppe does some cool maneuvering?
If you tell Giuseppe to make this happen for you, Giuseppe's going to do everything in his not inconsiderable power with this gondola to make it happen.
Nice.
He's right. As soon as you were like, okay, we're from Hospitalia, she's a Brizzolato, we're commandeering this vessel. He's like, do you want to see? Like, you can't do wheelies in a gondola. He's like, I could turn it up on the gunnel, and I've done 45 seconds just like on the edge, man. Like,
nice.
You want to see my wheelie? Like,
you want to see my sick wheelie? Yeah.
That's the energy this kid is bringing.
He's I like, love this kid.
I've never done one of these before. Watch this.
Yeah. So I'm imagining that they're behind us and they're trying to gain on us and they're about to fire.
Yeah.
And Cor is going to start at the front of the boat and run to the back of the boat, and in mid-stride, she's gonna reach down and grab Claudia Brizzolato's blade that is, of course, at her side. So she's jumping with a blade in each hand, her own and Claudia's. She's gonna leap, and then you know how gondolas at the back, they have that little, like, that little stepping thing. She's gonna leap, step on that step, and flip in the air. And so there's this slow motion, she's flipping through the air to land on their gondola, and fence these foes and get stabby with them and knock them off. Well, crossbow bolts are probably wide. Flying at her. Yeah.
Sailing wide, of course.
We'll see. I mean, maybe she'll have to cleave one out of the air. Maybe one will catch her on the way. I don't know.
It's going to have to get real booly in here.
Is that cool with you, Kristen?
Do you get, because you have unstoppable, do you get to do all that without rolling? So that happens?
Well, right. What unstoppable lets me do is face an entire group on like even footing. And it also allows me to perform a supernatural act of speed. So I feel like I'm just sort of combining this all to say like, I want to skirmish these guys. It's a very florid way of saying like, I want to skirmish them. I have swords. I have the ability to get there.
I was asking because I wanted to make sure it actually does happen, because I think that as soon as it does, Lenore says like kind of under her breath, like, wow. And then Claudia looks at Lenore and Lenore looks back at Claudia and immediately narrows her eyes and is like, do not repeat that.
So if you're pushing yourself with this, I don't need a maneuver to get across.
Nice.
Is what that means in game terms. And you do have the scale here, right?
Yeah.
So we gauge these people on like a small gang on an even footing.
Yeah.
So this gondola, like, you can make the skirmish roll here. And
nice.
I think that with your fine dueling blade here, right? And Claudia's.
As I say, two fine dueling blades.
Two fine dueling blades. They don't stack. This is not.
I know they don't. No, I just did it for effect. There's no mechanical reason why I need another sword, but
just it's cool. It's cool as hell.
Cor being over the top and ridiculous.
With cool as hell on the table, I think that you start off here. They weren't expecting that, so I'm going to give you risky. Yeah, risky. I'm going to start you risky here. I think that with the push and everything, but that gets you standard as well.
Nice.
I think you can deal with this particular on a success here. You can deal with this particular problem and have it not create complications for you or anybody else.
I would like to the coolness of fighting case The coolness of fighting Case of Rapiers is its own reward. Yes, exactly. yes, that's what is true. I think I'd like to push it to Desperate Great, and I want an additional effect that I would like to be basically knocking most of these guys. Like most of them, I'm probably not killing. I'm like smashing them with the hilt, or I'm shoulder checking them, or I'm stabbing them with non-lethal wounds, but enough to make them fall off the boat. Right. But I want to keep one of them captive. Like I want five guys in the water and one of them at sword point to answer some questions.
Yeah, that's absolutely like a great use of greater effect. So desperate, that means that you're fighting foolhardy. You're fighting on their terms. They've got all the aces here, but are you gonna
they're pointing two crossbows at me. Desperate seems right to me. And I think we're in such close quarters, anything could happen. Who knows? Sure. Should we?
Three dots in skirmish, right?
Yeah, three dots in skirmish, and I'm gonna take that extra die for the push. So I'm feeling strong here. It is, we're a little ways in. Before I hit this roll button, does folks wanna take a break? You want me to roll and then we take a break? After we see the Either. Results, but before we narrate,
and then we'll take a break.
Oh, right. Yeah, there
all
you
right.
go.
All right.
Let's see that roll.
Let's see how it goes. Okay. Core iron sides.
I can assist because I don't think. I think it happens before I know.
If you wanted to assist, if you wanted to, you could. I think you could assist by like grabbing hold of the gondola tiller and like trying to get Core there, or yelling at the gondolier to do it.
Oh, I'll yell. I'm cool with that.
If you okay. like, because you were the one talking to him anyway.
Yeah.
I think you telling him like do your sweet wheelie trick.
Yeah.
So Core can bridge the distance.
Is that okay, Drake? Can I do that?
That's great.
Can I assist?
That's
okay.
Great.
All right. Okay. I'm gonna spend them stress.
Resist the next thing.
Yeah. And all right. Desperate. Great effect. Two bonus dice. And
yeah.
Wow.
Let's talk about that when we get
perfect
back.
Laugh.
Okay.
All right, friends. We'll be back in a few minutes and we'll see how this all goes. See you soon.
Oh, poor Nak. All your creatures have been turned against you. Malika has taken them from you. But we're going to save Giuseppe with a boat to boat flip. It'll be awesome. Come back for the finale in the next part.